الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, all praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Creator, the Lord of all the worlds. I bear witness that there is only one God to be worshipped, the God whom no one has ever seen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that he is the final messenger of God and the seal of all the prophets. I greet the believing audience today with the greetings of peace, the greetings that we hope to receive on the day of resurrection, the day of judgment. The greetings which means, may peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty God be upon you. We hope that we receive this beautiful greeting from our Lord on the day of judgment. I'd like to say to the listening audience, the believing listening audience today, give them the greeting also again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I have a few announcements before we get started. The first one is our community meeting. God willing, inshallah, we will have it on the 10th of May, May 10th. And it will be at 3 p.m. at 1408 Cemetery Avenue. That's our community dinner, and our community dinner is for everyone. Our doors are open for everyone. We hope our community show up like they do all the time. And we hope that our community, we don't ask our guests to bring any food or anything like that to the dinners. Just come with a nice appetite and enjoy the company that you will be among. But we asked in our members, the people in our community, to bring a dish, share it with everyone. This will be May the 10th at 3 p.m. May the 10th at 1408 Cemetery Avenue. Now, in reference to some of our classes, we've had a change in our class. Now, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have a new Arabic class. We've had many people, several people here lately that, you know, email us and write in and text us and say, do we have an Arabic class? People want to learn how to read Arabic, to read the Quran. So we do have an Arabic class starting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. Also, I'm going to have it on Zoom. So some of you who can't get out, it will be on Zoom. I will send out the link in our texting service. You don't have to be a Muslim to learn the Arabic language. They're going to start with the alphabets as beginners. And this is very, very nice, especially the young people today. You should definitely be in this class. Definitely be in this class so you can start getting the grasp of learning a new language, learning the Quran, which you're going to be reading. And so the doors are open for everyone, whoever would like to attend. The class is 1 hour from 7 to 8 p.m. If you like for me to send you the Zoom link, you can text me that you want to send it. You want me to send it to you, and I'll send it to you in a text. I'll send it out in our texting service. Everybody in our community is not in our texting service. So if you know you're not in our texting service and you're listening this morning, or if you know someone else who wants to join the class, text me right now. You can basically say, just send me the Zoom link. And we use the same Zoom link every Tuesday. And this is also the Zoom link for our Quran class, that you can tap into our Quran class right in the comfort of your home. So you can text me at 706-459-1010, 706-459-1010. If you would like to attend the Arabic class on Zoom, I will send you the Zoom link. Also, you're going to need the pamphlet. I will also send you the pamphlet you're going to be studying out of. So along with telling me you want the Zoom link, just send me your address and I'll send you a copy of the pamphlet you're going to be studying out of. That way you can keep up with the instructor. So we're very excited about this class. I think this is the first one we've had starting with beginners. We have many other classes dealing with reciting in Arabic and different things like that. But if you want to learn from the beginning, from the alphabets, This is your opportunity. May 5th at 7 p.m., 7 to 8 p.m., and this is every Tuesday. Just like the Quran class, every Wednesday from 7 p.m. So we have classes back-to-back. Wednesday, I teach the Quran class. It's in English. We do all of the tafsir or explanation. It's in English, and it's an open class where you can ask questions, you know, have discussions, be comfortable. We all are there to learn. So if you also would like the Zoom link for that class, you can also text me. It's going to go out in our texting service anyway, and just tell me that you would like the Zoom link. Also, our Jumu'ah service is at every Friday at 2 p.m. Every Friday at 2 p.m., the doors are open for everyone. Now, our services don't last all day, because God says in the Quran that when you hear the call to prayer on Friday, to hasten earnestly to the remembrance of your Lord, leaving off traffic and trade. So that means every Friday around the Dhuha prayer, our second prayer of the day, you leave your jobs if you can. You come to the masjid or to the mosque, and you worship with everybody. Congregational prayer, everybody. Someone will get up and deliver a speech for maybe like 15 or 20 minutes. Then we all get up and pray together, and then people are free to leave. So our services don't last all day, maybe 30 minutes, 30, 35 minutes. And then, you know, people are hanging around, and there's usually food afterwards and so forth. But the service itself is very short. It's not an all-day affair, because God says once you perform this prayer all together, then go back and seek your livelihood. Go back to work or whatever you were doing, go back. But on Friday, all around the world, the second prayer, 2 o'clock at our facility, I think at an ISGC on Gumbrell, I think it's around 1:30 in that area. But long as it's in the area of the second prayer, it is valid. So ours start at 2 p.m., 2 to 2:30, we always say. We try to get everybody out so they can go back to work. And this is also, the doors are open for everyone. And there's no secrecy in the religion of Islam. Everything is transparent. There's no question that you have is off limits. Every question you have, ask it. If someone don't know it, then we can find the answer for you. So there's no secret orders, no secret meetings or anything like that. The doors are open for the public. I want to make that known, that the doors are open for the public. All you need to do is just come in and have a seat. Let someone know this is your first time, and then someone will assist you if you like, for you to be comfortable and just explain to you what's going on. And the last announcements I have here, last announcement I have is that if anyone need any type of Islamic material from us, a Quran or whatever it is, you can also text me and I will send it to you free of charge, 706-459-1010. Better yet, everyone has cell phones today. You know, you can go on our website. It's UIDF.org, UIDF.org. And we have many, many, many programs and lectures and different things on that site. I'm really proud of that site. It's a nice site, nice, beautiful, professional site. But you can go on, you can donate, you can ask for materials, you can read articles, you can watch videos on that site. So Allah has really blessed us to, over the years, to make knowledge accessible to everyone. So we hope you take advantage of it, and may Allah accept the efforts that we put forth to try to move any barriers that's been in the way for people to obtain knowledge. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we will get into the topic of today.
You are listening to the Understanding Islam Show, sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. The Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is a nonprofit organization established since 1995. The purpose of the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is to provide accurate information about the religion of Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. The Understanding Islam radio show is hosted by Hamad El Amin and airs every Sunday in Chattanooga, Tennessee and Dalton, Georgia. The Understanding Islam radio show also gives businesses and individuals an opportunity to provide beneficial information to our community by appearing on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor radio show, also sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. If you would like a Quran, a copy of a radio show, or any Islamic literature, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. They ship all of their materials to you free of charge. If you would like to attend one of their classes, which are for Muslims and non-Muslims, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. For additional information, visit their website at www.uidf.org. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam radio show. Now back to your host, Hamad El Amin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hope everyone is doing well today. Today I have a topic that I wanted to discuss. It is coming from a saying of the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. And in the religion of Islam, you know, you have two main sources of knowledge. One is the revelation of Almighty God. It is top priority. It is top priority. It is the word of God. This is the Quran. This is the Quran. It's never been changed. It is from God. The next source is what we call hadith, sayings of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And this is what made really Islam so unique, because we can go back and search, authenticate different sayings of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, on how we should live our life. And now it's one thing to receive the revelation of Almighty God, which we have received in the Quran, just like Jesus before Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he received the gospel, the good news. And before him, there was Moses who received the Torah. But with all of those scriptures, there had to be a human being to show us how to implement the guidance that Almighty God was giving them. And these people are called prophets and messengers. That was their mission, to convey a message to the people that God sent them to show them as an example how to obey Almighty God. This was their purpose. So they had sayings. What did they say? How did they live? How did they worship Almighty God? What was their daily activity? This is why they were called prophets and messengers, because their job was to show us the way, to show us the correct way to worship God. Our job always will be is to follow those prophets and to follow those messengers. And God says, never have he destroyed a people until he first send them a warner. So those warnings came in the form of prophets and messengers, and God is sending down the revelation to them according to the time in which they lived. And every people received their prophet. And the last prophet we believe, peace and blessing be upon him, prophet and a messenger, because a message came with Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And that is in the form of Quran. Jesus Christ was a prophet and a messenger. Why? Because he was a prophet and God gave him what we call the Injil, the gospel, the good news, which we believe in. And Moses was a prophet and a messenger. Why? Because God sent a message with him in the form of the Torah. And you can go on and on and on with the prophets and messengers. They asked Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, one time. They said, how many prophets were sent into the world? How many prophets and messengers did God send into the world? And he said, 124,000. 124,000. Do we know all of them? No. We only know the ones that are mentioned in the Quran. We know them. God has talked about them, told us some stories about them, but their mission were the same. And that mission was to bring and convey the message of Almighty God to their people, to turn them away from idolatry or worshiping any other thing other than God. Now, out of those 124,000 prophets that went throughout the world, how many were messengers who received a message? The prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said 315. Some people say 313. So you had a small group that were messengers that received the wahi, what we call the revelation. And so they said things and people followed them just like we did today, just like we're doing today. Now, one exception about Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is that we believe he is the final prophet. He is the final one whom God has sent to mankind. And he wasn't sent to a particular people, but he was sent to all of mankind. God says he's a mercy for mankind. Now, and I said all of that to say this, that he made certain prayers that we try to emulate. And in those prayers and supplications that he made, we try to follow them because there are lessons in them for us. There are lessons in the supplications and the du'as that all of the prophets made, but in particular, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. So I want to mention four things today, four things that he would make a supplication to seek refuge in God from, to seek refuge in God from. And we all should have a habit of seeking refuge in God. I say all the time in my prayer, oh God, I seek refuge in you from the devil. I seek refuge in you from evil and those who practice evil. I seek refuge in you from the hellfire. I don't want to go to the hellfire. I seek refuge in you, Allah, from being lazy. I seek refuge in you, Almighty God, from being influenced by evil or whatever. We seek refuge all the time. And God tells us to seek refuge in him when we begin to read his revelation. But the point of it all is the human being has to seek refuge in the Lord of all the worlds. We say, A'udhu billah, he mini shaitan nirajim. I seek refuge in God from the devil who is cursed. That is our biggest enemy. That is our biggest enemy. But we have our own weaknesses. We have our own faults as a human being. None of us are perfect. And I sometimes people are surprised to hear that, because sometimes we put certain people on certain pedestals and we raise them up to a certain level where we feel that they are in some way angelic people. We feel that they are so angelic, that they are so pure. We almost make them like a deity. But no human being is perfect. We all make mistakes. We all sin. And God says that in the Quran, that if all of the human beings never sin whatsoever, that he would destroy all of the human beings and create another race that would sin, that would ask him for forgiveness. That's one of his names, Al-Ghafur. Al-Ghafur means that he is the most forgiving. God is the most forgiving. So he wants you to ask for forgiveness when you make a mistake, because it's showing that we are not perfect. We're imperfect. And God wants us to be humble and let us know that he is the Lord and we are the slave. He is the boss and we are the workers. So we say, A'udhu Billah, I seek refuge in God. And so this particular saying by the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he mentioned four things that he seek refuge in. Four things that he seek refuge in. And it's very powerful that he seek refuge in these four things. And this is what he sought refuge in. He said, O Allah, O Creator, I seek refuge in you from knowledge that does not benefit. I seek refuge from a heart that does not humble itself. He said, I seek refuge from a soul that is never satisfied. And I seek refuge in you from a supplication or a prayer that is never answered. Those are four things that the human being has to have correct before we can enter paradise. I seek refuge in you from knowledge that does not benefit, from a heart that does not humble itself, from a soul that is never satisfied, and from a prayer that is never answered. And I just want to unpack these four things today because there are lessons in it for us, if you think about it. The first one, he said, I seek refuge in you from knowledge that does not benefit. And if you notice today that we are living in the information age, there's so much information out there that's swirling around on social media, on YouTube, on the internet, you name it. There's so much information, newspapers, instant information. Everybody has a story to tell. Everybody now is getting on social media wanting to teach somebody something, wanting to show somebody something, making videos, making lectures. All type of information and somewhat knowledge is out there. But remember, all knowledge is not good knowledge. All information is not good information. And that's why the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, he said, I seek refuge in you from knowledge that does not benefit me. Most of the information that people are scrolling on the internet, social media, Facebook, Twitter, all of these things, it's knowledge that does not benefit. Knowledge that benefits a person is knowledge that will transform a person. Knowledge that benefits you is knowledge that will move you forward in a positive way in life. Knowledge that benefits you is a knowledge that is going to take you to a higher level in life. It's going to protect your family, your children. This is knowledge that benefits. I always look at it like this. Knowledge that benefits is the knowledge that's going to benefit you in the grave. Yeah. If you are looking at information and you're searching for knowledge, things that are not going to benefit you in the grave, that's knowledge that does not benefit. Because knowledge that benefits a person is going to help this person beyond this life. Beyond this life. So all knowledge out there that people have, this is that knowledge that does not benefit. It does not benefit me in any way. You know, looking at a lot of these reels and things where people are entertaining other people. And, you know, people are doing the most outrageous things today to try to get likes and followers on Facebook and many other platforms of social media. I think this is the most motivating, corrupt thing in social media today. You know, how outrageous can I be? How corrupt can I be? Things that people 50 years ago would not even think about doing. They're doing it today just to get likes and followers where people can like them. And so therefore they can make some type of income off of Facebook or social media. So you see people doing all kind of things today, just entertaining other people, basically what it is. It's not knowledge that's going to help you and your family. It's not knowledge that is benefiting you in some way. It's just knowledge to entertain you. And it's knowledge that can take you to the hellfire. Knowledge is that what takes a person out of darkness to light. And the prophet, peace and blessing be upon us, warned us that knowledge can become a proof for us or against us. So if you have information that you are acquiring and you're calling that knowledge, but yes, it doesn't transform your life, then what you have is just basically information. So we should ask ourselves, have my knowledge that I'm spending hours on just, you know, absorbing into my brain every day, has it changed me as a person? I mean, in a positive way. Have this knowledge changed me as a person? Have my knowledge that I'm acquiring every day, or this information that I'm acquiring every day, I don't want to call it knowledge. It's more information than anything. Has it benefited my family in any way? And this knowledge that I'm acquiring every day off of social media and listening to people's talks and music and all of these things on the internet, can I sit down and teach that to my children? what I'm listening to? Can my children listen to those things with me? These are just questions you could ask yourself. Has my knowledge helped me and my community? You know, the knowledge that you are inquiring every day, has it helped you benefit your community? Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, said, the best among us are those who are most beneficial to other people. So the knowledge that you're learning every day, or you're listening to and acquiring and you know, and interacting with every day, has it helped your community? Can you take that to your community to benefit your community? Or the knowledge and information you're listening to every day, has it enabled you to fear God more, to stay away what he has forbidden and made us come and run to what he has made permissible for us? Have that knowledge done that for you today? Have it stopped you from drinking, stopped you from smoking, stopped you from cursing, stopped you from fornicating and committing adultery? All of this knowledge you are acquiring, has it done those things for you? If it hasn't, then you just have information. You don't have beneficial knowledge. And this is the measurement that we use when the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, O God, I seek refuge in you from knowledge that does not benefit. The best knowledge that a person can obtain in this life is to understand that he has a Lord, and that that Lord watches over him 24/7 a day. And that that Lord hears and sees everything. And this is the most important, that when he recognized he has a Lord, he recognized that he has one Lord, not two Lords or three Lords or one in three or three in one. That he recognized that he has a Creator, and that Creator is sustaining his life. And he understands that one day he will return back to that same Creator who created him, and he will have to answer for what he did or did not do in this life. And out of all of that, like I said earlier, he recognized that he has one Lord. This is beneficial knowledge. This is the most beneficial knowledge that a human being can acquire. So you can go to the best schools in America. You name them, Harvard, you name all of them. The best knowledge that a human being can acquire in this life is to bear witness that he has a Lord, and that Lord does not have any partners. That right there alone might get you into paradise. Might get you into paradise if you believe it and stand on it. So when the prophet said, I seek refuge in you, Almighty God, from knowledge that does not benefit, we should all try to attain the best knowledge that we can in this life so it can help us, inshallah, God willing, enter into paradise. The second thing that he sought refuge in, he said, I seek refuge in you, Almighty God, from a heart that does not humble itself. That a heart does not humble itself. A heart that humbles itself is a heart that surrenders its will to the will of Almighty God. God says in the 57th chapter of the Quran, the 16th verse, has the time not come for those who believe that their heart should become humbly submissive at the remembrance of God? And then you listen to that statement. Has the time not come for those who believe? Not the disbelievers, but has the time not come for those who believe that their hearts should become humble and submissive at the remembrance of Almighty God? That's a powerful statement. Because when the heart submits itself to God, then the servant is in total submission to Almighty God. That means when the heart has surrendered this will to God's will, that means there is no arrogance. Your faith now have removed this type of bigotry. your faith have removed falsehood. That's when the heart becomes submissive to Almighty God. God says in the Quran, "Fadhkurni adhkurkum, waskuruli wa la takfurun." Remember me, and I will remember you. Be grateful to me and do not deny me. This is what God says in the Quran. Remember me and I will remember you. Remembrance makes the heart soft. Remembrance of God will make your heart soft. The lack of remembrance of God, it hardens your heart. Just that simple. Remembering God, meaning I'm God conscious, I'm remembering God all day, it humbles yourself. It makes you more submissive to Almighty God. And that's why God says, remember me and I will remember you. And be grateful to me and do not deny me. One of the companions of the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, he said, verily everything has a polish. And the polish for the heart is the remembrance of God. Because we're told that when a human being never remember God, they never remember God whatsoever, that some type of crust that will form over the heart. You know, a crust comes over the heart, or a stain comes on the heart of a human being that do not remember God. Because remember, God is the creator of the heart. And he created the human being to worship him. So after creating the human being to worship him, not out of a need, but out of love, he has created the human being to worship him, because worshiping God is going to bring you back to him. You see, that's the only reason why God says, your purpose of living, my purpose of creating you, is for you to worship me. Not that he needs your worship, but he wants you to worship him, because worshiping him is going to bring you back to him. It's going to give you the best life of remembering God. So, but if a person don't remember God, you know, they live their life any way they want to live their life. They don't ever call on God. Then we're told that a type of crust or form, it covers the heart. Where the heart now doesn't receive any type of guidance. And that's a big word, guidance. Because if you're not guided, that means you're misguided. And everyone want to be guided. I mean, you can't even travel anywhere in today. You can take 25, 30, 40 years ago when you're going to go out of town to visit someone and you have their address. You have about 2 sheets of paper where they're telling you to turn here, turn there. When you go down here, turn, make a right here, go on this interstate, this. Are you looking at paper maps and stuff? They are giving you guidance. But today, how easy is that to just punch it in your phone? They say, this is where I live. It may live in New York, you know, Canada somewhere. This is my address. You just punch it in your phone. What are basically they're giving you? Your phone is giving you what? Guidance. It's taking you there. Turn right. Make a U-turn here. Go here. That's guidance. And that is what the human being needs in life, is guidance. So if you don't have guidance, then you are misguided. And when you are misguided, then you are being led by Shaitan, the devil. So those whom God guide, no one can misguide. But those whom he leaves to stray, meaning that he is not guiding them at all, no one can guide them. So when that form and that crust comes over the heart is not receiving any guidance from God. No knowledge, no light can penetrate it. And the more you sin, the more crust, the more hard the heart becomes. And it brings out, it manifests itself in the form of evil, in the form of your language, in the form of your disposition and your character toward people when your heart is hard and it has that covering over it. You know, when you see people that do some real horrific type of things in life, I mean, very vulgar thing, you say, man, that guy's hard-hearted, boy. That man is cold-hearted. That's what people say when they want to reference toughness to someone. They say, man, that guy's hard-hearted, right? That guy has ice running through his veins, to his heart. Why? Because they look at him or this person as having no fear. He's hard. He's corrupt. There's no softness to him or her. Him or her, it's the same, because the crust has formed over the heart. And this is the way it manifests itself to others, that I have a hard heart. It's because they treat people badly. They are bad neighbor. They curse people. They oppress people. They use anything in this life to give them a high or a false sense of satisfaction in life. This is the hard-hearted person. This is how it becomes hard. There's two things that makes the heart hard and makes the crust form over the heart. And it is negligence and sin. Negligence and sin are the two things that form the crust over the heart of the human being. Where the heart, yes, it's pumping blood, but it doesn't have any love, sensitivity in it whatsoever. He's hard-hearted. And the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, I seek refuge in good, you, God, from a heart that doesn't humble itself. Now, what are the two things that can remove this crust from the heart? See, there's always a solution and a remedy to eradicate the wrong in your heart. And the two things that can remove this crust layer by layer by layer is asking God for forgiveness and remembering him. These are the two things that will humble your heart. To make Tawbah. Tawbah means to return back to God. To ask forgiveness of him. If you're too arrogant to ask forgiveness of God, then your heart will never be softened. No, you have to ask it. I mean, asking for forgiveness is basically saying, I acknowledge that I made a mistake, I sinned, and I'm asking you, the one who has power over me, to remove my sin from me. I'm your servant. I'm your slave. I worship you. I surrender my will to you, and I'm asking you for forgiveness. This is an open admission that you are not perfect, and you're not trying to call yourself equal with God. You are humbling yourself to God. The heart is doing that. And then remembering God. Fathkuruni athkurkum. Remember me, I will remember you. There's nothing greater in this world than the remembrance of God. It's only when you lack the remembrance of God that the devil begin to manipulate your heart. You will find people that commit suicide. They will usually take some type of drug, intoxicate themselves. You know, they're high on something, trying to kill that conscience that God put into them. You know, they're dumbing down the sensitivity and that nature in them that's telling them what you're about to do is wrong. What this mindset, this plan that you have to take your life is wrong. So what do? They intoxicate themselves, use drugs to kill that voice that God put into them that's telling them what is wrong and what is right. They killing it where they don't even have to hear it. A lot of these kids is going in, shooting up these schools and things like that. If you read the background on those kids on all this type of psychotic medicine and from depression and anxiety and all of these other things that they're on. You will see the history of their life. A life of turmoil, confusion, depression, because that is not how God created them. Everything have a past and a journey, and the heart is no difference. And the heart is the main muscle in our life, in our chest, in our body, that God Almighty looks at and examine, and he will put that on the scale on the day of judgment to see if you're going to get forgiveness or a punishment. So the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, he said, there's a morsel of flesh in your body. If it is good, the whole body is good. He said, if it is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. He said, it is the heart. And there's a saying that every morning a human being wakes up, all of the body parts, you know, tell the tongue to be good today. You know, they say the tongue is directly attached there to the heart, because people speak what's in their heart. Especially when they get intoxicated or angry, they're going to tell you what's in their heart. The tongue is. So they tell the tongue, be good today. Because if you're not good, none of us are going to be good today. You're affecting the heart. And if the heart is not good, all of us are not good today. If the heart is good, we all are good today. Just like the body parts. An analogy of the body part speaking to the rest of the body. So the heart is where faith is. This is where our faith is in the heart. People say, I love you with all of my heart. When they say that, they're trying to show you, you know, the complexity and the sincerity of their love, how deep their love flow for you. When they say, I love you from the bottom of my heart. And they've said, they put some emphasis on it. They don't just say, I love you. They say, I love you from the bottom of my heart. That means I have some true love for you, because the heart symbolizes faith. So we seek refuge in God from what? From a heart that doesn't humble itself. Reciting the Quran, remembering God, it softens the heart. And these are the things that, inshallah, we ask Almighty God to humble our hearts. The third thing here that the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, sought refuge in. He said, I seek refuge in you from a soul that is not satisfied. And this is very dangerous. Because a soul that is never satisfied, it is always wanting more and more and more. It's just like a monster. The more you feed it, the more it wants. The more you give it, the more it's going to ask for. Today's world is just feeding people dissatisfaction to the soul. I seek refuge in you, God, from a soul that is not satisfied. Always wanting more money. Never going to have enough money. You know, you can have three jobs and your soul is saying you need a fourth job. If you get four jobs, they say you need another job, because you're never going to satisfy it. This is a soul that is not satisfied. If you raise yourself to a certain status in life, you want to go higher and higher and higher, because the soul is not being satisfied. You want more followers. You want more possessions in life. You know, one car is not good enough. You got to have three or four cars, all the clothes, everything. This is a soul that is not satisfied. And it's not satisfied. He's always have an appetite to acquire the things of this world, to be materialistic in this world. And this is a very dangerous thing, because it enslaves people. See, it enslaves people when you can never be satisfied. If you have $1 million, why you need $2 million? Why you need $3 million? See, the human being can't get to a point where you say, no, I'm good. I have a house. I have a wife. I have children. I'm not in debt. Why come you can't be satisfied? The soul can't be satisfied when it doesn't have the remembrance of God. The only soul that is going to be satisfied is the soul that has the remembrance of Almighty God. God says in the Quran, in the 13th chapter, the 20th verse, those who believe and whose hearts find satisfaction in the remembrance of God, for without doubt in the remembrance of God do hearts find satisfaction. This is the only way you're going to have satisfaction in this life, is by the remembrance of Almighty God. Your heart will never be satisfied if you do not have the remembrance of God. Study some of the backgrounds of some of the most richest people in the world. Study the background of these actors and actresses that you see on TV every day, who has millions and millions of dollars, but their soul is not satisfied. You read about their lives. You read about their families. You read about them committing suicide. You read about them in rehab all the time. You read about their drug problems. That's a soul that they're feeding entertainment. They're feeding the enduring things of this world, and the soul is never going to be satisfied because most of them are not religious people. Let's just be honest about it. Let's be honest about it. When you put your life out in the open and you can see and hear the things that they tell people and the things that they do in their life, it's not a life of remembrance of Almighty God. That doesn't make money for people. That doesn't make money for people. But what satisfies a soul is connecting yourself to the remembrance of Almighty God. A soul that is never satisfied. The prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said that the richness is not having many possessions, but true richness is the richness of the soul. The true richness is the richness of the soul. And he said, if a man wakes up in the morning, or woman, and you have a home, you have food in your house, you have your family around you, he said, you have everything in the world. This is contentment. This is contentment. And you can tell when a person is content. You know, they're satisfied. They can be living in poverty. How many stories have you read about people going overseas and countries and parts of Africa and Asia in the world where people are just living in poverty? You know, you get all of these wealthy people that travel over there, and then for different charity missions and things like that. And you will hear one story all the time. It's like a theme. They say, you know, I was so surprised that I could see how poor these people were. I mean, they just living in shacks and huts and different things like that. And they invited us into their house to have lunch or dinner with us. They didn't have much food, but they shared it with us. This is you're going to hear this over and over from people who travel the world on missions and charity missions and different things like that, where they interact with people in poverty. And another thing you will hear them say is that they were just so content with their lives. I mean, they had nothing, and they were so content with their lives. It reminded me of a story I read one time where this man was so wealthy. He had an entourage everywhere he went, a lot of people around him. And he would drive down a particular street every day, you know, his driver, his entourage, and all of his people. And there was a man on the side of the road who didn't have any arms. He didn't have any legs. But the man was there smiling every day. You know, he was trying to sell things. He didn't have arms. He didn't have legs. But he always had a smile on his face. And this wealthy man with all of his people would ride by him every day. And one day the man just decided to stop. He said, you know, I got to see what it is that's causing this guy to smile like this. He just seems so happy, and the guy doesn't even have legs. He doesn't even have arms. And so they stopped. And the man went over and said, I just want to know, what is making you so happy? You don't have legs. You don't have any arms. And every day I ride by here and you have the biggest smile on your face. The guy said, yes, I don't have legs and I don't have arms. But I have a tongue that I use to remember God every day. As long as I have this tongue in my mouth, I am remembering God, and that's what's bringing me contentment. How beautiful is that? See, this is a world the rich man has not entered, because he feels he has no need of God because he has wealth. This poor man that doesn't have legs and arms, his richness is not coming from the materialistic things of this world. His richness is coming from the remembrance of God. See, this is a whole nother level. This is a whole nother level that this man didn't even understand. So the man that's saying, I'm using my tongue to remember God, this is bringing him satisfaction. This is bringing him satisfaction in this life. The last one today, out of the four things, and we remember the four things. I did three. I seek refuge in God from the knowledge that doesn't benefit, from a heart that does not humble itself, from a soul that is never satisfied. And now, a prayer that is never answered. I seek refuge in God from a prayer that is never answered. And we ask that Almighty God answer our prayers. But not having a prayer that is not answered is a very, very dangerous thing. So let's look into that. Almighty God says in the 40th chapter of the Quran, the 60th verse, and your Lord says, call on me, I will answer your prayer. But those who are too arrogant to serve me will surely find themselves in hell, in humiliation. So Almighty God tells us to call on him. And the prophet sought refuge in a supplication that is never answered. I mean, imagine, we pray every day. Can we say for sure, 100%, that God accepts our prayers? Just one of our prayers. We have to, the way we come closer to Almighty God is through what? Through remembrance and obeying him. So making a prayer saying, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, have mercy upon me. On and on, like we do sing every single day. The prophet said, oh God, I seek refuge in you from not answering my prayer because I want you to answer my prayer. But what are some of the qualifications? What are some of the principles of having our prayers answered? Number one is that we must have the right intentions. We can't ask God to answer a prayer of us violating some commandment that he's given us. Oh God, help me win the lottery. God is not going to answer a prayer like that. When you're asking God to do something haram, forbidden. No, one of the principles of asking God to answer your prayer is that we have to try to have our lives right. And we have to have the right intentions. And we're asking God for something that's going to benefit us not only in this world, but also in the hereafter. We can't be in a state of doing wrong all of our life and still asking God to answer our prayer. You know, I've seen people that's selling alcohol and have alcohol businesses. And they're raising their hand asking God to answer their prayer. The prayer is not for them to stop selling alcohol. The prayer is for them to make more money. God is not going to answer that prayer. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon us, told us that there is a man who raises his hand and he asks God to help him. He said, all the while, the man clothes, the what he wearing is forbidden. The food that he eats, it is forbidden. What he drinks is forbidden. The prophet, peace and blessed upon him, said, how can God answer him? So having your prayer answered means that we have to try to fall in line for our supplications to be answered. We have to prepare ourselves. And before we raise our hand, we need to check ourselves and see, am I doing everything I need to be doing before I ask the Lord of all the worlds for this prayer? And then another thing we have to remember as believers, even though you're doing everything that you possibly can to be right, what we ask for sometime may not be beneficial to our lives. So God is not going to answer that prayer. Because if there's some things that we ask for, if he give it to us, we will never call on God again. So God knows what's good for us and what's not good for us. Just like one brother said, when I ask God for something, I make a prayer and ask him for it. If he gives it to me, I say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, the Lord of all the worlds. But he said, if I ask God for something and God denies it, he doesn't answer that prayer. He said, I'm more happier than when he answered my other prayer. Why? Because what I'm asking for, God knows I don't need it. So he's shielding me for something. That's the reason he's not giving it to me. And to be in the mindset that when we ask God for something that we have to automatically get it, is almost acting like God works for us. God doesn't work for us. So we can't say if I do A, B, C, D, I'm expecting this from you, God. No, it doesn't work that way. because God doesn't work for us in that way. God gives us what we need in this life. What we doesn't need, he's going to withhold it. So a person who's sick all the time, all his life, the person may be sick and they're asking God, have mercy on me, forgive me, you are the greatest. He's praying to God every day. He's asking also to be healed. But God knows that if I heal this person, he will never call on me again. So for his own benefit, God keeps him sick. Because as long as he's sick, he's calling on God. The same thing you can say about a poor person. Always, he's poor, but he's calling God, help me eat today. Help me get some food today for my family. Help me, help me, help me. He's calling on God, which is benefiting him because he's remembering God. And God knows that if he make this man rich with money, he would never call on God again. So God withholds it from him. This is the way it works. God says he guides every servant by his heart. I guide every person by their heart. And God knows what's in our heart. So this is the way Almighty God guides us. So beneficial knowledge, just to recap real quick. Beneficial knowledge is guidance that helps us in this world and in the hereafter. And this is how we have to measure it. That beneficial knowledge, it transforms people. Knowledge that does not benefit does not transform lives. It's just like eating candy. There's no nutrition in it. It tastes good. It smells good. But it's not good for you. Beneficial knowledge is that which will take you to a different level in life. Bring you closer to Almighty God in worship. This is beneficial knowledge. A humble heart. That is the deciding factor for the whole body. The heart has to be good. The heart cannot have envy, cannot have prejudice, cannot have racism, cannot have arrogance and all of these things in our heart. Our heart has to be clean with faith. The true faith in Almighty God. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. To believe that there is only one God and Muhammad is the final messenger of God. To say subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Praise be to God. Glory be. This is what the heart has to contain. Also, a satisfied soul means that it accepts the decree of Almighty God. Whatever God has decreed, the soul accepts it. This is a satisfied soul. And the dua or the supplication, it is the weapon of the believers. It shows our dependence on Almighty God. When we make a supplication, it shows that we are in need of God. So we ask that Almighty God have mercy upon us and protect us from knowledge that does not benefit. Protect us from a heart that does not humble itself. To protect us from a soul that is never satisfied. And protect us from a supplication that is never answered. Until next week, I leave you with the greetings of peace of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.